Baie welkom by ons vroeë oggendsessie. Ek sien 'n paar bekende gesigte. Ek is baie bly om julle te verwelkom hierso. Vir 'n gesprek met die uitgewers, Jeremy, don't be scared, it's not going to be all in Afrikaans. I said to him, ons gaan soort van Afrikaans en Engels praat. So, I have as my guest, Jeremy Berain from Jonathan Ball Publishers, Malt Meiberg van Penguin Random House, en Marga Stoffer van NB Uitgewers. And ek is Elmarie. And we are going to talk about trends, news, what's hot, what happened, changes, whatever in the publishing business. And I think you would agree, if you look at the festival, just a little piece of news. I was told by the bookshop on Monday that they broke their all-time day record on Sunday. That's before the festival started. They can't keep up. We had a dinner with Marita van der Vijver, Penguin's writer, on Wednesday evening. We got the news, sorry, but she sold out. The publisher went white. He said it's the first time ever. I was at our Flemish guests' talk the other day at the Bipsal here, Stefan Hartmans. No books. I phoned. Where are the books? Sorry, sold out. So very, very good news for a festival. First time ever that a Flemish writer sells out at our festival. So that's all good news. And I want to ask, as a start, vir ons gaste, so wat het julle gesien die afgelope jaar? Wat as julle oë toemaak, wat spring uit? Is maybe a big change or a big piece of news or just something, a trend? Jeremy.
Well, after those very positive comments about how things are going here, I feel, you know, we work so hard in the publishing industry. I see there are a few publishers out there. I sort of feel like a mole rat that's just stuck my head above the ground to look around at what global trends there are. And I'm afraid what struck me is that the more things change, the more things stay the same. Publishers, you know, at the risk of trying to spot a trend, the great danger is firstly that you end up with egg all over your face, and secondly you end up with a warehouse full of books. So trend spotting is not for the faint-hearted, and I'm not sure if my two panelists will agree that many of us tend to be followers rather than groundbreakers when it comes to trends. So if we think we've spotted a trend, we will leap upon it. We love to copy, we love to emulate, we love to sort of just plow the same furrow. So I'm sorry to start on such a kind of a negative note, but that said, just a few comments about possible trends out there that have emerged and some that that may still be coming, but that's the dangerous area. I just want to touch on the business of publishing, and I'm reminded there's a saying which I believe comes from the Soviet era, and someone asks a peasant how things are going this year, and he says, well, this year is worse than last year, but at least it's better than next year. And so it goes in the publishing industry. Not really. I'm sure it's good. We've survived the ebook onslaught. I think we all thought that we were going to die from ebooks. And ebooks globally have leveled out at a certain percentage of the market. And so we continue with paper and fend off Amazon for another year. And we continue to publish book after book after book. And I looked at some statistics in China. They do 400,000 books a year. The US, 300,000, and the UK, 180,000. I mean, between them, almost a million new paper books per year. And that excludes, in the US, apparently, a million new ebooks will be published this year. So I think publishers continue to just publish more and more and more and more. And I think a trend is that there is just so much information out there. So as a reader, what do you choose? You're spoiled for choice. I mean, if you think about it, you can access anything you want. A million new ebooks. Where do you even begin to start? So That is a trend. I think the explosion of information, and you know, we see that in all sorts of industries. But perhaps just to touch on some of the mega trends. And in the past, you will know about erotica. You know, with 50 Shades of Grey, and every publisher storming in to publish mountains of erotica. Where it all ended up, I don't know. And following fast on its footsteps was colouring in books. I don't know how many of you in this room have got unfinished colouring in books in your cupboard. But there was kind of like a mass storm into colouring books. And the funny thing is about a mega trend is that it's not new. You know, erotica has been around since kind of cave painting. And colouring in books have been published for dozens and dozens of years. So why suddenly, I mean, that's what we're trying to understand. Why suddenly does someone start using colouring in books? I don't know. So a current trend, and this is a very funny one, is that the Danish nesting phenomenon. I think I spent a long time listening to how you pronounce this word. Hygge, right?
What is that?
Hi. Apparently it's not meant to rhyme with piggy. So here's the funny thing, is that 500 books in the UK have been published on hygge. But if you turn your attention to Denmark, there isn't a single book on this so-called Danish thing. So is this publishers wanting a trend, or is it a trend? I don't know. I'm not going to be publishing any books on hygge soon. And they say the way to spot a trend is that if there's a parody book on that subject, then it's a trend. So, and apparently there is a parody hygge book, so it must be a trend. And then one other trend, this is a very strange one, and this comes to titles. I don't know if you've noticed how many titles have the word girl in it. Mm-hmm. Gone Girl, Girl on the Train, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I think The Girl on the Dragon Tattoo is a lot to answer for. The Girl Before, The Good Girl, The Girl You Left Behind. They're kids' books with girls in it. They're colouring in books. They're thrillers. They're YA books with girl. I sometimes imagine you go into your publishing office and say, I've got a great idea for a book, I've got a great title for a book. It's called Girl. We just need an author and a subject matter. So, and I think I'm going to start.
It started with Girl on a Train, not Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. And Paula Hawkins said that was not her title at first. It was the publisher who said she must use that title.
Must use the word
and
girl.
Since then, it was a stream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to stop there.
Melt.
Ek sal die fokus so 'n bietjie van trends af verskuif na hoe ek die bedryf sien en wat ek nou die afgelope jaar waargeneem het en plaaslik meer, dink ek.
Ja, Malt is a publisher of non-fiction, so it's interesting. Yeah.
Ek is by nie-fiksie sedert januari verlede jaar en die interessante, of ek dink 'n ding wat 'n mens nie uit die oog moet verloor nie wanneer jy kyk na ons boekebedryf, is dat daar iets soos Nene Gate net so bietjie meer as 'n jaar gelede plaasgevind het en dat kospryse geweldig gestyg het die afgelope jaar en ek dink die impak daarvan gaan baie definitief nog gevoel word by ons mense soos ek, gewone middelklas mense wat gewone middelklas salarisse verdien enzovoort. So dit is iets waarvan ek intens bewus is. Ek dink 'n mens sien dit ook in ons boekbedryf. Jou bestsellers wat in die verlede 25.000, 35.000 verkoop het, verkoop nie meer soveel nie. Jy gaan heel wat minder verkoop, met enkele uitsonderings natuurlik. En selfs internasionale blockbusters wat 'n mens kry, perform nie meer so goed nie. Ek gaan nie, wel nie heeltemal so goed soos in die verlede nie. So daar is 'n effense afplatting. Die implikasie daarvan is dat daar uiteindelik op ons plaaslike bedryf of die Suid-Afrikaanse bedryf 'n impak gaan wees. Ek dink daar's miskien ons industrie het miskien 'n bietjie top heavy geraak. Kom ons neem die woordfees as 'n kom ons neem die woordfees as 'n voorbeeld, net om vir ons dit in perspektief te help sit. Ons het 'n baie groot program by die woordfees, 'n enorme program, 'n groot skrywersprogram, maar jy kan agterkom dat jou lesers se aandag, hulle is meer spesifiek in hulle aandag, hulle het 'n bietjie minder cash om te spandeer, So daar's ons kleiner audiences by baie van die skrywers, maar met die uitsondering van jou top supergewilde, jou Marita van der Vyvers, jou Annelie Botha's ensovoorts ensovoorts. So so jy sê dat 'n bietjie dat dit verdeel word, verdun word die mark in die bywoning en so. En ek dink ons gaan dit meer definitief in die boekbedryf sien. Ons sien dit al klaar. By Penguin Random House is ons gelukkig want ons het mark aandeel het verstewig en verbeter, die Afrikaanse markandeel spesifiek. En ons was gelukkig om 'n merger, 'n samensmelting tussen Penguin en Random House te hê 2 jaar gelede. Wat nie 'n aangename story vir enige besigheid is nie, want mense smelt saam, jy moet mense verminder, jy moet hulle aflê, jy moet die ding streamline, maar ek dink dat het ons 'n bietjie 'n voordeel gegee. Ek dink aan ons in die Afrikaanse publikasiebedrijf, waarschijnlijk gaan jy binnen die volgende 2 jaar ook veranderinge sien. Miskien vir gewone ouens wat waarneem, bietjie dramatisch, ek weet nie, maar dit sal interessant wees om dop te hou. Die enigste trend wat ek dink allemaal wil nou, hoe verklaar jy dit boeke? Ons skryf manuskripte van iemand wat enigiets anders worsel om, hoe verklaar jy dit? Verklaar.
So people want to know, people need information.
Maar die trend is om probeer kopiewerk en nie noodwendig.
Voordat ek by jou kom, Marga, Jeremy, could you just quickly explain to us, I read something that, I think it was a newsletter by Steve Connolly last year, that said something about the price structure for imported books. That apparently there was a subsidy before, and now it's not there, and that's why everybody noticed that overseas books are so much more expensive. Is there something, of who would it price betaal van a Paula Hawkins that we buy here? Do you know?
I don't know about that newsletter, and I don't know about a subsidy. I think what...
so it's more the wisselkoers, the...
It's the exchange rate. Which drives pricing and, you know, what we're always watching. But, you know, I think the simple way to look at it, and, you know, I know there's always, people get very upset about the high price of imported books, is that the more businesses you have in a chain of a business, everybody wants their piece of cake, you know. So there's the British agent, there's the British author, there's a British publisher, there's the shipping agent, there's the shipper, there's, you know, there's customs and excise. Well, there's no customs on books, but a duty on books. There's the air flight if you're flying it in, you know, and then it comes to the South African side, there's the warehouse, there's the bookshop, and there's the whatever. So everyone's kind of like trying to make their margin, and I think that's what it is. But, you know, inevitably I think the Rand will decline, although it's been strong, believe it or not, it's been strong. Against the pound. I think, you know, a day will come when there will be a sudden drop again.
Yes.
And we'll see further increases in prices.
So I think the onus is very much on the bookseller, how many books he orders of a certain title, so he doesn't sit with
daar's 'n interessante ding as ek mag byvoeg om daai prys van internasionale titels beheerbaar te hou, en partymal letterlik is dit goedkoper om die boeke hier te druk. Afhangende van hoe sterk of swak die rand is, en as om dit in te verskeep. Met iets soos 50 Shades of Grey kan jy dit doen nie, want die mark sit te wag vir 50 Shades of Grey, so jy moet dit invlieg in groot vragvliegtuie. Ja. Maar terloops, sorry.
Ja, Marga.
Well, ek sê met Jeremy, kan julle my hoor? Jeremy het eindelijk gesê, the more things change, the more they remain the same. En dan is daar trends wat alles vir 'n rukkie die mekaar maak. En dit is, in my ondervinding ook, so ek dink, die mark hou altyd van 'n goeie story. En genadiglik, goeie kwaliteit is tydloos. En dit is vir ons as uitgevers eindelijk wat het vir ons lekker maak om te doen wat ons doen, want dit is uiteindelijk ons liefde vir stories wat ons in die bedryf is. Dan is daar sekere een ding wat ook die sarre bly, is dat uitgevers nog altyd gedink het die einde is op ons. Dit het gekry. Van dat, van die begin van die radio af, radio sy boeke doodgemaak het, dit het nie. TV sy boeke doodgemaak het, dit het nie. Toe kom e-boeke, toe weet ons nou, is gedrukte boeke definitief daarmee heen. En wat nou gebeur in die afgelope paar jaar, is daar is het, dit het nie net, wat jy flatten, dit nie plat geraak verkoop nie, dit het eindelijk gedaal. Ek het aan allerlei statistieke van die Britse uitgeversvereniging en van die Amerikaanse uitgeversvereniging, en het sê eindelijk, ek dink ons ervaar die selle hier, is jou topverkopers is ook topverkopers as e-boeke. So Dion Meyer, hy is ons topverkoper e-boek en hy is ons topverkoper roman. Maar daar is sekere kategorieë wat nie verkoop as e-boeke nie, en ek dink die niekie is ook, mense is, koop nie nou meer 20,000 e-boeke vir hulle Kindles of vir hulle iPads of wat ook al, wat hulle dalk later gaan lees nie, hulle besluit wat hulle as e-boek wil koop. Daar is sekere kategorieë wat glad nie as e-boeke verkoop nie, ek dink nou aan goed soos poëzie en backlist. Hoe meer goeders in die nuus is en vooral die sociale media bemark word, hoe beter doen het as e-verkoop. Maar,
ja, it's a quick fix. About a book, you want to order it now, so yeah. The Kindle.
En liefdesverhale en speerverhale, die goeders wat jy consume, maar nie noodwendig jy wil naar teruggaan en op jou boekrak wil heen nie. Maar ek dink die trend is eindelijk dat het stijg, dat die algemeen e-boekverkoop het daal, maar in opvoedkundige boeken stijg dit. Gedrukte boeken gaan maar so aan soos het aangaan.
Well, the news from America and Britain is that they literally talk about the second consecutive year of growth in print media, in print books.
Yeah, this claim is claim. This claim is 1%
Optimism. We all expected it going to nosedive, and it actually started growing against the e-book.
Ek het van die Britse uitgeversvereniging se verkope van gedrukte boeke met 1% vermeet, beter vir jaar. Maar die verkope van gedrukte boeke vir die algemene mark, en dis eintlik waarna ons kyk, het 6% gegroei.
Ja.
En dan het allerhande statistiek gegee van en die Amerikaanse uitgeversvereniging het gesê gedrukte boeke het 2.8% gedaal. Maar dan is dit ook, weet sê maar, ek dink ook, as van harde band, dus met verskillende kategorieën beter en slechter doen. My boek gaan nog steeds voort, in spuite daarvan, van die berigte van sy oorlede. Dan, ons het, verlede jaar het ons, op ons top 12 titels, was daar 3 inkleerboeken. Nou, inkleerboeken is nie die duurste boeken, nie, as jy ons meet hulle volgens inkomsten, so daar baie verkoop.
Editorial costs on coloring in books, right?
That was so, because we translated them. Ons het Afrikaanse inkleerboeke uitgegee, dit was fantasties. Yeah. Ons was nie die eerste mens om een goeie idee te kry, ons het sommer 6 gedoen.
Yeah.
En dit het baie goed gewerk.
Byna Lady het ons die eerste boek uitgegee, inkleerboek vir groot mense, toe ek vir 'n kort tydjie byna Lady was.
Ek onthou dit, dit was Tanya
O'Connor's
boek. Tanya O'Connor, wat die hartseer daarvan was, is jylle dit uitgegeele was heel eerst in Suid-Afrika, maar om die uitgever te klein was, ek weet nie of dit voor sy tyd was, of net nie genoeg bemark was nie, het 'n groot uitgeverij dit gesien, exactly as Jeremy said, saw the potential, saw what's happening overseas.
Daar baie kopieën van my boeken verkoop, so die bemarking, dat was nie fout met die bemarking nie, maar die trend het eindelijk in Frankrijk begin. En as ek een groot uitgever was, sal ek in elk geval op een klein uitgever
gesien. Dit was een slimtown uitgever wat gesien het wat daar gebeur het.
Ons was nie eindelijk, was nie raak, was van daar Ludie,
so nie,
ek het Frans ene gesien. En die Frans artikels daar oor, want het was toe het al die trend, wat was in Britannie een trend, maar daai goeders,
nee, maar sy was so, haar boek het so jaar uitgekom voor julle eerste.
Frankrijk was en in Nederland was het ook een trend geweest.
Ja. Dit was die Secret Garden vrouw, wat die eerste groot inkleerboek en ek dink
Michael en Mara het die hele klomp gedoen.
Ja, en daar sou een einde verlede jaar sou daar een opvolg wees. And I read about it on Amazon and that the pre-sales for that book was through the roof.
Dis verskriklik, ons is dankbaar vir daai
adult coloring book. But don't you think that trend is
And that's why I just want to touch on a few trends. Isn't that one of those that are flattening down at the moment?
Nee, dis heeltemal klaar.
Is dit nog steeds?
Is dit maar klaar?
Is hy klaar?
Ons doen glad nie meer sê hoe kan dit? Ons is nou klaar. En ons het gekyk na dot to dot, dit werk nie.
Yeah.
En daai pen by numbers in kleur, dit werk ook nie. So daai is nou
voor. And then when I read about a coloring book for adults way back, I thought it's one of those verskyn en verdwyn goeters, but apparently definitely not. But then Pokemon Go het ons getref verlede jaar. My kids were into it, more their student friends, and I kind of asked what the hell is it, and I was fascinated by it. And then everybody started talking about it, and then I saw on the American websites that Scholastic is publishing a Pokemon Go coloring book. I should have thought, putting two trends together, and apparently sales went through the roof. But now you don't hear about it, as nie a peep or Pokemon Go nie. So het jylle het nooit, dit was nooit iets wat jylle opgegaan het.
I don't think that, I mean, I think our market's too small to do those kind of, those mashups. But I think that's been happening.
And it's also not something that really lasted here.
No, but in 1991, I worked for Penguin in New York and for a science fiction imprint. And I mean, there we were constantly looking at, you know, any book that we could do related to any fad, you know, any kind of fad. And I mean, and so it is today. One's always sort of looking for. But I wanted to touch on a trend that points to the fact that publishers are no longer dictate, you know, what books get published. We don't have the same power that we used to. You know, we were the gatekeepers of what got published. And of course, with the rise of digital, you know, anybody can publish now. I mean, and you see those million new ebooks being published in the United States in this year. You know, I mean, I'm sure most of them are self-published by the author. And something in particular that's sprung to my attention is fan fiction. You're all aware of fan fiction. Do yourself a favor and go to a website, I think, called fanfiction.com. And there you'll find people writing about their favorite series, TV series, book series, whatever. And of course, right on top is Harry Potter. And on the Harry Potter click-through, there are 750,000 separate items of writing that you can choose to read. So if you like Harry Potter, you can read sort of Harry Potter fan fiction for the rest of your life. And within that, there are all subcategories. So if you like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, there are writers who mix it up. And if you like Harry Potter erotica, you can go to the Harry Potter erotica. And so it goes on. And I mean, and every single series is there. Breaking Bad, you name it, it's all under fan fiction, and people spend their lives there. It's all free. And so publishers go and read fan fiction now looking for talent, and so authors emerge from there or from other free websites. So you don't have to pay a cent really to be happy in your reading. But of course, how do you find what's good? Well, I guess you can, you know, people are leaving notes and people are commenting on it. But I think we are three publishers here and of traditional publishers, but in fact, we're possibly being left behind. We're the old guard, you know, the old school. And there are completely new ways of fiction and non-fiction reaching its intended user now.
Ek het twee goed wat ek wil sê. Een is, om aan te sluit by jou, en dit gaan oor die young adult mark. En dit is 'n verskriklike moeilike mark, want die kinders sal party mense hou net op om te lees, en die ander, jy kan hulle nie vasvat nie, jy weet nie lekker wat hulle wil hê nie.
And they change very fast.
En hulle is 'n angstige, ons generasie, jong mense is 'n angstige generasie, want in Brittanje het hulle nog Brexit en so ook, maar die hele wêreld sit met Trump, en dit maak die kinders baie bang. Maar wat ek meer en meer van hoor is Wattpad. Het jou kinders ook Wattpad gelees? My dogter, dis gratis, dit is tieners wat vir tieners skryf, dis nie altyd alles goed nie, maar hulle kan identifiseer met wat hulle lees. En sy, wat vir my nogal interessant is dat daar nog altyd 'n voorkeur is vir gedrukte boeke. As dit kom by konvensionele boeke, by 'n groot deel jong van jong mense, maar hulle lees dan ook hierdie gratis goed op Wattpad en ander plekke. Dis een ding. Die ander ding wat ons nog nie oor gepraat het nie en wat huge is, is luisterboeke.
Is?
Luisterboeke.
Ja, audio.
Audio, net that I want to get to
that. Dit is, en dit het die afgelope 3 jaar
gekom. Ja, that's the segment of digital books that are growing the fastest.
Dit is audio books. Ons het nie eers vreeslik baie nie, maar dit wat die beste verkoop van ons is definitief ons luisterboeke. En internasionaal in Amerika dink ek het hulle iets soos 30% groei gehad die afgelope jaar, wat ongelooflik is. Ek het nie Britse syfers in my kop nie. Maar dit is
But apparently what I read about it is that it was very expensive to make to produce audiobooks, and that there's new digital technology where you can record a digital voice that emosie uitdruk. En dis hoekom vir die eerste keer begin hulle nou goedkoper audioboeke maak, want dit is 'n digitale stem met emosie. En dit maak vir my sin as jy nou dink aan Amerika en Engeland waar mense subway toe stap, hulle stap ver, weet, en hulle luister na hulle boeke terwyl hulle stap. Ons gaan net ons verkeer erger maak as hulle luister. En tog, ek hoor van baie van my vriendinne wat luister na boeke in hulle karre terwyl hulle ry. So,
en daar's navorsing dat WNR is op die oomblik besig met text to voice technologie vir Afrikaans ook.
Fantasties, ja.
Want dit is natuurlijk...
Speaking of digital technology, do you find that you need to be innovative with platforms for your books? I'm thinking of Gillian Fellowes, our Downton Abbey writer, who brought out his new novel Belgravia as an app. So just before the book was published, the app was published, and the app was actually a serial, a vervolgverhaal. So you could get chapter after chapter after chapter on the app, and then the book came out. So is that something, or is it something that's really too expensive for the local market? Mark, the amount?
Also, dit is 'n baie belangrike ding wat 'n mens wil die hele tyd aan die voorpunt van die tegnologie wil bly, maar dit is duur om te skep en te maak. Ons app department ongelukkig verklein as gevolg van mark verwante druk. En die mark hier is nog nie so lekker groot.
Ja,
ek dink die app wat die beste werk vir ons is, of jy weet, is 'n Fools app of 'n vol geluide en goed op wat
ook al. En travel book
is dit nog altyd vir.
En reisboeke?
Reisboeke is dood.
Is dit groot?
Nee, dit.
Is dit?
Ja. En weet jy wat is ook, ek weet nie of julle dit het nie, maar ook resepteboeke, daar is so oor aanbod op die mark, en dit hier goed gaan in siklus, en ek weet, jare gelede was dit skielik soort van 'n stilstand geweest met resepteboeke, maar ons het nog, vandat ek by NB is, en dit is nou 17 jaar,
nog so nooit so baie.
Elke jaar ten minste 2 op ons top 10 boeke.
Ja.
Daar is altyd woordeboek of 2, kookboek of 2, topverkoper vir romans, soos weet, Harry Potter of maar definitief 2 of in party jare is daar 4 top kookboeke gewees. Dis die eerste jaar wat ons nie een het nie.
Die low carb high fat ding,
ons het natuurlik 'n verkeerde goed uitgegee, miskien wat dit betref, maar nog dan
so hulle skiet nog steeds die ligte uit
vir die low carb is die ding vir julle en vir wat is
dit? But apps, you not digitally innovative, that dit is 'n plain print mooi beeld.
Illustrated books have not worked digitally. I don't think
because America they say the travel books come with digital maps and all sulke soort goed, maar soos ek sê, I think it's very expensive to do such a book for a local market, and soos jy sê, vir alles het
I think you can broadly say that anything that you can get like information online has killed all those genres of books that were very sort of informational, like travel books books of data and whatever. You can just find it online.
And it's easier to find it online than to find a book.
It's more visual online. And
I know.
And
it's interactive. You click it with your GPS and daar gaan jy.
So niemand wil meer ander mense se reisvrae. Dis soos om na ander mense se vakansiefoto's te
kyk. speaking, excuse me, Rosie.
Ek sê behalwe as dit gaan oor hoe dit geskryf is, soos behalwe as dit gaan oor hoe die verhaal geskryf is, as dit nie gaan oor inligting oordra nie, maar
You have a big hit on your hands with Ernst Grundling's Camino book.
Dis presies wat ek
dink. Dis vir my verskriklik interessant. Daar was 'n ander boek, maar nou kan ek die vet weet nie kan onthou wat dit was. Dit wat het Maestro Mariese oor die Italiaanse beeldhouer. Wat weet ook praat oor Italië en daar was nog 'n boek ook, maar wat interessant is, dis amper dat old couch traveling. Weet jy, you're not going to plan, you're planning maybe.
Planning?
Yes. Of jy wil graag
een dag. Een dag.
It's much better to sit and listen to somebody else suffering and talking about it.
Dus ek nou, daar vir iemand, jaar of twee geleden vir iemand vertel, en ek nogal gedink, ek is eigenlijk, ek moet sê, ek so graag die Camino loop, en dan sê van, doesn't everybody want to do that?
Ja, en elke tweede ouwe het ook een boek oor die Camino, elke tweede ouwe het omgestap, het sal vir jou boek,
and as you all know, there was quite a Facebook skirmish about somebody, a woman who said, but she actually presented the Camino book, she was the first, and it wasn't accepted, and now somebody else says, it's the first, and
daar is baie Camino boeken.
Wat sê die vroeg?
Camino is trending.
Die verontwaardiging was groot in die Facebook spat.
There needs to be a parody book on the Camino.
Yes, it's a brave publisher who published that.
But Jeremy, back to you, there's another phenomenon, also coming a few years, where somebody publishes, net vinnig, I was in New York 2 years ago. We walked into, it was near NYU. There's a lovely bookshop, absolutely frequented by the students, but lovely. It's, I think Williamsburg, nee, Annika, waar is dit? Die een wat, dis reg, ja. But there's a nook in the bookshop with a big banner saying, we publish your book. And they have a swing with a houtboordie that kind of notches up the number of books sold. It was over 10,000. Like you say, it's just people coming and say, I want to print my own book. Enzovoorts. E-book and print book, wat hulle daar doen, as part of a bookshop service, which was very interesting. But back to you guys. Andrea told me about one of your writers who published an e-book, became so phenomenally popular that you're bringing out a book now. She lives in Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, jy weet nie wie sy is nie.
No, I mean,
it's romantic fiction and she has this kind of pink and blue striped hair.
Good Lord.
She's coming to the workplace next year.
I mean, it's something
year.
I have to explain. It sounds like I'm really dumb not knowing about this book, but I run the local publishing division
at
Jonathan
Ball. No, but I'm not giving you information.
And we import something like, you know, I don't know what it is, 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 new titles, per year from various imprints from around the world. So, and I must say, I have my head down looking at the local list and publishing the local list. Yeah. So there are all
it's
kinds
It's
mere
about
of
people printing e-books becoming so popular. Oh, yeah. You see it, that Amanda, somebody in America as well, in the millions, and then they get a book deal, and then the book just... Yeah.
But I think that is a trend, is that a lot of publishers, well, either individuals or publishers are just going ebook first.
Yes.
No print expense. And then if it takes off, then you can do that print edition and sell, you know, sell a lot.
Maar dit is moeilik. Ons het al 'n paar keer probeer en dit in ons mark, jy gaan nie die mark toets met 'n e-book nie. Dit is net, nou is ook daar discoverability ding daarvan, hè?
Ja.
Van mense moet weet van jou e-book en jy kan dit bemark, maar dit kompeteer met die bemarking van gedrukte boeke wat in elk geval online bemark word en ek weet ek recenseer, weet daar is net ek dink nie ons is al daar met e-boeke die mark toets nie. Ek wil want jy nou gepraat het van julle 5000 boeke en ek wil julle vertel hoeveel boeke daar in die Suid-Afrikaanse mark is.
Asseblief.
Want ek het gaan kyk en ek het gedink dis interessant. Daar was in 2016 en dis volgens Nielsen se stats en Nielsen se stats vang nie alles nie, daar is goeders wat nie gemeet word deur Nielsen nie. Maar in 2016 was daar 309,597 verskillende ISBN'e wat deur die winkels gegaan het. Soveel, dit kan verskillende uitgawes van dieselfde boek wees, maar dit is hoe oorweldigend groot die mark is en dit is hoe groot die kompetisie is. En die aantal boeke wat verkoop het, eksemplare, was 9,8 miljoen eksemplare wat verkoop het. En dit is redelijk, die aantal titels was in 2012 was 205,000, in 2016 309,000. So het met 100 opgegaan oor 5 jaar, 100,000 opgegaan oor 5 jaar. Wat net 'n idee gee van, wat vir die boekwinkels aangebied word en wat er besluit die boekwinkels moet neem, want hulle kan onmoontlik nie al die boeke aanhou in hulle winkels nie.
It's interesting. You look at the magazine market and it's just nosediving, and you look at books growing.
I would hesitate to say growing. So the statistics that Margaret talks about, I think part of it could be shaded by the fact that Nielsen brought in more retailers, and so you get more ISBNs.
There are more ISBNs, but the sales are not really more. Between 5 years, whereas 100,000 more titles were available in 5 years, is minder as 1 miljoen meer wat verkoop het. En het het van 8.6 na 7.5 na 8, na 10.5 na 9.8 gegaan. So dit groei nie rechtig nie.
Die aantal boeken wat verkoop. Mense het letterlik minder geld om op boeken te spandeer. Ek sukkel om my NBA titels wat ek elke jaar wil hê, ek moet omtrent 'n bank beroof om, nee, ek grap.
Maar ek moet jy so baie van ons boeke wil hê, laat.
As op my eintjie, net om by te bly met my eintjie krogs en so voort, sê wat vir my,
but explain to us why are books expensive? Net vir hoekom is dit duur om te druk? Where do you print? Boeken gaan soms Thailand toe om te druk? Of?
Ons druk in Maleis, ons druk in die Ooste, want het is goedkoper om daar te druk. Maar dit is nie vir die zwart en wit boeken wat ons doen nie. Dit is absoluut vir ons volkleerboeken. Die hele pakket is, die kwaliteit is uitstekend en die prijse is goedkoper. Dat is wat ons hier kan doen.
Wees
jy, alles gaan op, maar dit gaan...
Alles gaan op, maar partij van die goed krij jy nie hier nie. Jy kan nie die papier waar een bybel, nie dat ons die bybel nie die recht had om die bybel te druk nie, maar die papier kry jy eenvoudig nie in Suid-Afrika nie, jy weet, is goed wat ingevoerd moet word.
Ek wacht, ons prijse gaan nie soveel op nie, dit is 4,5, in 2014-2015 was het 4.6% geweest, dus in 2015-2016 was 6.6%, dit is inflationair, dit is, denk ek nie, ek, ook so lang as wat ek in die bedrijf gespraak, mense oor
can I touch on two points, I think Mel touched on one already, is that 5 or 10 years ago, it was quite easy as a publisher to publish with passion. So you'd look for your bestsellers and then you would populate your list with other books that you kind of wanted to do, you weren't sure about, and you could probably sell 2,500, 3,000 copies without too much difficulty. Mm-hmm. Now, if you do that, you might sell 500 or 600 of that same title that you would have done fine with. So if you're printing 1,000 copies, your unit cost is driven up. Your print cost. So even if we've held printing prices down, and I think we have, the fact that you're printing fewer, and the law of publishing now is that what you have in your warehouse will kill you off. So keep your stock as low as possible. Yeah. To the extent that now we do reprints of 50 copies, 100 copies. So we take out the color and we just, you know, and we don't even do picture sections anymore on glossy paper, just so you can keep that book alive for a bit longer. And if you think about it, if you print 50 copies of a book, I mean, your print cost is going to be about 80 rand a copy.
But also a few years ago, that was impossible. Dit is wat so lekker is van die nuwe tegnologie. Want as 'n boek uitdruk uitgegaan het, en jy nie 'n laaste print oplaag kon doen nie, dan was dit kobaai met die boek. Yeah. Nou kan iemand 10 jaar, as jy die boek digitaal gedoen het, ons te groot klomp van ons goed gedigitaliseer, nie net vir e-boeke nie, maar eintlik die hele uitleg weer gedoen, so dat ons het print on demand, druk op aanvraag kan doen. En dan kan jy. Hmm. Dan kan jy 50 exemplare sê dit in die regte digitale formaat het. En dit kost, as jy dit nie van die begin af so kon doen, as dit te lang terug gepubliseer is, kost dit geld om dit te doen. Maar dan het is een eenmalige onkoste en dan kan jy vir lang dat weet 50 op 'n slag doen. Maar, die selfe verkoopprys.
Ja,
maar... Ek denk, ons het een vreselike groot wake-up call gekry, so 2 jaar terug, allemaal in die boekbedrijf. Toe die boekwinkels vir die eerste keer omtrent in die geschiedenis aan mas boeken teruggestuur het, wat net extra boeken. So ons druk op, en dit het allemaal moet hulle broeken op hulle knieën gevang in die bedrijf, denk ek. En ek denk, van ons herstel nog daarvan, of sikkel om te herstel van daardie ding. Maar, so allemaal is baie meer conservatief met die druk oplaag. Uit die aard van die saak, sorg jy dat jou voorverkope by boekwinkels vir jou aanleiding gee van hoe groot jou oplaag moet wees, sodat jy makkelijk kan vervang. Ons vind met plaaslike bestsellers, jy jy vooraf verkoop, om vir jou voorbeeld te noem, Zelda Lagrange is goeiemorgen, hoe verklaar jy dit, meneer Mandela? Is een goeiemorgen, meneer Mandela. Die boek, die ouwens, jy weet die boek, het is al baie 100.000 verkoop, uiteindelik in Suid-Afrika, die Afrikaans en die Engels, maar die boekwinkels wou niks weet van die boek, totdat aan hulle voorgelei is, voordat het gepubliseer is, hulle sê, is julle mal, wie gaan dit lees? Wie gaan dit lees?
Maar dit gebeur nogal, dit is wel mens goeie, ons het die Anton Hooper biografie uitgegeet, jare gelede, en ons moes vir die boek, dat is die enkele boekwinkels hier en daar, verduidelik hoe belang, hoe prominent hy was, hoe belangrik hy was, en dat die boek sal verkoop. Dit gebeur elke
keer. Ons het glo nie, ons het begin met 7000 oplaag, en dis binne 3 dae uitverkoop obviously, en daar sit die land toe vir 'n maand lank en wag vir die stok om herdruk te word. Maar dat mense wag dan en so.
Ek wil gaan aansluit wat Jeremy gesê het, as jy gaan kyk na hoeveel meer boeken beskikbaar is, en die verkoop, die aantal exemplare wat hier in die markt verkoop, word min of meer constant gebleid, dan ondersteun dit precies wat jy sê. Daar is kleiner hoeveelhede wat verkoop word van meer titels.
Ja.
My dad was a publisher and he always said, you have to publish, and I want to know, is it still the same? You have to publish your Gonzalek. That was the Heinz Gonzalek. He was a Russian pulp writer.
Phenomenon.
But a phenomenon in Afrikaans. Yes. Afrikaans translations sold like soetkoek. But you have to publish your Heinz Gonzalek to pay for your poetry.
Yeah.
So is het steeds so, dat jy het jou erotica of jou 50 Shades en so aan, jou Dion Meyers, ek weet nie,
Wilbert Smith,
is groter, om jou klein digbundelkies in jou hart, like you say, your passion books, or do you have to actually delete your passion books these days? As a publisher?
Well, I don't think I'm publishing as many of the books that I really want to publish as I used to in the past. So it definitely has got tougher. You know, you try and do more with less.
Yeah. Are there ways and means to because I heard a talk between Sarki and Peter Verhels yesterday, the Belgium playwright, and they spoke about the fact that with theatre these days, there is just no money. You have to go for sponsorships, you have to beg and pick and pay something, it says, of a car verkoop or what to call, to say Peter Verhels, kunstenaars is kakkerlakke. So I want to know, is that still the perception of is that the perception of writers? Can you actually go to a Rupert or weet, a groot culturele instantie and say, ek het 'n fantastiese boek, kan julle my dit help sponsor, can you sponsor it? So you can still do that. It seems to me that there's still money available if it's a really worthwhile book.
Yeah, there are projects that come in. Yeah.
Ons gaan naar die Heemstraat terug, so baie keer, baie keer maak hulle dit net, dat het een totale verlies, gee jou net genoeg geld, dat jy nog steeds, nou nie gaan goed doen nie.
But you are.
Maar jy gaan nou nie inbetaal op die project.
Ja, so, jy krijg baie keer.
Maar dit help. Dit doen hulle ontzettend baie vir die
skrywers wat persoonlijke sponsors het, baie ryk mense wat passievol oor iets wil. En dit gebeur soms, dan maak hulle so dat die publikasiehuis nie verlies leid, tenminste nie.
Dit is precies,
Dit krijg jy. En dit is wonderlik om partijmal te sien, die boek doen eintlik baie beter dan, ek dink aan julle prachtige boek, Marianne Tam, se wonderlijke boek.
Ja,
maar
dit is...
Ja, jy weet, ja.
Nog...
Jy het amper nie sponsorship nodig gehad vir daar lieflike boek nie.
maar dit is gecompliceerde ene daai, want dit is eintlik 'n terugbetaalbare een om het volgende project moeilik te maak. So dit is eintlik, dit is bietjie tussen die twee partye ook. So ek gaan nie hier daaroor praat nie, maar sy het definitief hulp gehad wat het vir haar moontlik gemaak het, en as gevolg van haar sukses kan sy hopelik nog verder goed doen. Een ding wat jy het ook nou gepraat oor die voorraadhouding wat 'n issue is, en dit is nogal 'n trend, dat ons onder baie meer, daar was in die verlede was, ek dink alles word baie meer effektief bestuur, en een van die goed wat meer effektief bestuur word is voorraad, en dit is altyd... Dit is 'n hartseer ding, want jy kan nie voorraad hou nie, so ons verkoop boeke uit en so, en dit maak een mens, maar dit het ook die kleiner oplaad tot gevolg, maar die ander ding is by woordeboeke, ek dink skoolwoordeboeke sal nog lekker gaan, maar ek ek weet voorsien nie dat 'n mens maklik weer so 'n groot Faroese Afrikaanse woordeboek.
Ja.
Dit is ongelooflik baie geld wat in daai voorraad gaan. Ek dink dit gaan alles skuif na digitaal toe.
Ja.
En wat en dit raak makliker en meer gebruikersvriendelik want weer jy het altyd by jou en jy het digitaal toegang tot 20, 30 woordeboeke.
Dit maak sin, as jy sit en skryf, dat jy tik op 'n woord en jy gaan na die woordeboek as wat jy nou moet.
En dit is definitief 'n trend in Afrikaans. Ja. Ek dink dat die gedrukte woordeboeke sien ek nie gaan vir ewig aangaan nie. Digitaal wel.
Jeremy, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to touch on something different, if I may, and that is perhaps it's the sort of counterpoint, it's the surprise bestseller.
The what?
The surprise bestseller.
Yes, please.
So, which is the
sort of something like Paula Hawkins' Girl on a Train. Nobody foresaw
well,
that.
Well, I would love to have had that book, yes, but not quite that big, but.
but still, yes.
No, I mean, we think we know what we're doing and we publish and we're careful and we, you know, and then every now and again something, you know, and so. Before getting on to sort of the surprise bestseller, you know, an area that Jonathan Ball publishes a lot in is politics. And we often say, you know, Zuma is the gift that keeps on giving because there's nothing like that. You know, when Zuma goes, what are we going to publish about in politics? Because, you know, people are dying to know in South Africa what's going to happen next. So, you know, that's a con. But a book we published a year and a half ago is Richard Stein's biography of Smuts. Now, we did our costings and we anticipated selling 2,000 or 3,000 copies. We kind of thought, you know, well, Smuts has been dead 60 years or something like that, 65 years. But we've sold about 18,000 or 20,000 copies now. And so is that a trend or is that a once-off? You know,
it would be interesting to see what the Afrikaans translation will do,
yes,
because at his book talk here, not Jan Smuts, but at the launch
maybe
of the Afrikaans,
of
Afrikaans translation, it was a full house. There was so much belangstelling in the book. So
then as publishers, we kind of think, well, why? You know, is it... I think, you know, if you look back at leaders in the past in South Africa, most are pretty tainted. And, you know, Smuts had his faults, but at least he was kind of, you know, he had some great attributes. And I suspect that's part of the success of it. It's a kind of a nostalgia for someone who achieved some great things domestically globally.
Complexity, I think, of his legacy.
Yes,
is he traitor or is he hero? He was a traitor to some, he was an absolute world leader.
Yeah.
So, and maybe the same with Mandela, we have a complex, amazing man, and he comes with the vrouw, and she tells from binnen af.
Yeah, that's
a unique... You have an absolute
hit. But that is a unique verhaal. You can't beat that story. And that is min wat jy dit kry, daai kombinasie van Afrikaanse...
Ek wil aansluit by Melt, ek was by Leseskring betrokke gewees, toe die Zelda Legrandsie boek uitgekom het, ek het net vir hulle die katalogusse gedoen, en ek weet, ek het maar geluister wat hulle wil insit en so aan, en Leseskring, en jy weet het self, het gesê, nee, ons gaan nie, die Afrikaans gaan ons maar klein insit, weet, daar gaan nie belangstelling wees nie. En die Afrikaans by Leseskring het omtrent dubbel soveel verkoop as die Engels. Hulle moes vir Penguin Random House soort van extra kopieën aanvraag. So ja, mens kan het soms net nie voorspel nie.
Dit is nog een ding wat verander het in ons maak. Nee? Natuurlijk is dat Leseskring nie meer daar is nie. En dit is een groot verandering.
Hulle is terug.
Maar dit
is ook weer een van die goed. As jy gesluit het en jy het vir al jou subscribers gesê, ek wil nou actually terugkom na die Leseskring ding. Jy is oor en voorbij en dan kom jy na 3 maanden terug. Die lewe, die wereld beweeg te vinnig. Hulle kry net nie daar mense weer terug nie.
Nee.
Maar terug na Leseskring. I want to talk about the availability of books because I think it has a direct impact on publishers. Toe Leseskring nou die eerste keer toe dit nou gesluit het. Wat vir my verstom het was die enorme hoeveelheid mense van die platteland who emailed, who called, who WhatsApp, who SMS, I said, please, 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 we don't have bookshops. We live on a farm, we live on a dorpie, we have to drive through, I don't know how many kilometers, to find a bookshop, wat nie 'n CNA is, dat nie net potlood en boeke verkoop, nie wat actually novels verkoop. Dis een van die redes hoekom Leseskring toe nou een sponsor gekry het en weer begin het. So ek wil net weet, die probleme met availability soms in klein dorpies, en ons het nog 'n groot plattelandse sektor, en partykeer dink ek,
'n groot plattelandse sektor wat lees. En dan kyk jy na Amazon, wat begin met drones aflewer. 13 minutes for the first delivery in Britain. Dit is 'n oukie van Cambridge. Hy het, weet, wat soort van, wat sy mens boek of, weet, hy koop nou gedruk. 13 minute, toe land sy boekie met 'n drone by sy voordeur. Hy het blykbaar boek oor 'n fliek gekoop en 'n pak popcorn. En dit word toe met 'n drone afgelever. Ek voel net dit is 'n verskriklike waste of money. But do you think that is, let's talk about future. Do you think that is something that will happen in South Africa, that will we have drone delivery?
It depends how far away you live from where the drone is. You know, the distance, England is quite small.
Cambridge is
beyond, it's near
as far as
Kaapstad. But if you're in Kofinia or, you know, Springbok, Werk
die drones met petrol of elektronies?
Ek weet nie, but I know that all the film and TV companies, I do work for Homebrew, we use the drone on almost all our shoots these days. Well, so dis nie meer eksklusiewe dingetjie. And if you go on the website, there are a number of drones to choose from. Little drones, big drones.
Yeah, kyk, ons poskantoor ons en leserskring lank al in die steek gelaat, so...
We don't have a national post office anymore. Yeah. I think that's number one. It's a big problem.
So, Marie, the delivery men, the DHLs and so on,
paper is heavy, so the drone, you know, I mean, compared to a DVD, paper, you know, paper is heavier. I mean, it might only weigh 200, what,
four, and if I have three or four or five
grams,
books,
you know, but yeah.
A very big drone.
But what about digital? Why don't they buy Kindles?
Ek dink as ons oor 50 jaar, jy weet ons na oplewing in die gedrukte bedryf beleef en die e-boeke af, maar ek het 'n vermoede en ek is waarskynlik verkeerd, maar ek dink as daar die ideale e-reader of leser kom, wat soos 'n fantastiese selfoon werk, soos wat Facebook deesdae thuis is op selfone, en jou prentjies word nie gedistort nie, en jy verloor nie die magic van jou boekse omslag. Ek weet nie, dit bestaan nog nie, maar dit moet nog imagine word. En ek dink, as daar die technologie eendag reg en precies en perfect is, dan gaan mense meer geredelik oorgaan na e-boeke. Is my vermoede.
Somebody, I think you, Marga, mentioned Trump. En ek sien net, as ek kyk na die nuusbriewe van Amerikaanse en Britse publishers, is daar definitief 'n sekere mood wat deurkom na Brexit en na Trump. En ek het net gewonder, publishing in a time of Brexit en Trump, wat se trends dink julle gaan julle sien? Hulle praat daarbo van ons gaan meer utopia boeke sien, met ander woorde boeke wat 'n happy solution het in hierdie soort van effens neerdrukkende tye. Boeke, fantasieboeke sê hulle gaan styg, omdat dit mense se koppe wegvat. Wat dink julle, ons sit in 'n tyd van Zuma, wat dink julle, wat voorsien julle gaan by julle gebeur? Of het julle al sulke boeke wat daai trend ondervang? Ek dink julle kom uit met die Gupta's boek, maar dit gaan prettig wees.
Ek hoop so.
Prettig, doch neerdrukkend.
It's hard to predict what will come, but I mean, what people are saying in the age of Trump is that sort of tribalism is, you know, is
and the nesting.
Is growing.
I think the nesting.
And the nesting. So very often people look inwards, they look to their own, whatever, you know. So if one extrapolates from that, you know, what might it be? Well, one of the trends that we've spotted is an increase in the number of books on feminism, both nonfiction and sort of themes of feminism in fiction. And I don't mean domestically, I mean internationally. Yeah. So is this a response to, Erica looks quizzical, I don't mean best-selling feminism books, but just more on publishers' lists from the
but
UK
look at the
and the
popularity
US.
Of Elena Ferrante, a women's story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, I guess that. I guess you could include that. But you know, Adichie's new book apparently is the theme is feminism.
Yeah.
I heard that Lauren Bierkus is working on a book where there are no men at all. I don't know. You know, and I would imagine there might be other themes like that. There will certainly be more right-wing books that might sell to a particular alt-right market in the US. And, you know, you see US publishers have imprints that talk to those specific political markets, like a right-wing imprint and a liberal imprint and, you know, whatever it is. And so perhaps, you know, and I think you're going to see a resurgence of activism, as you've seen in the United States and the UK.
And parodies.
And there's always publishing to be done around that, you know, sort of like where people gather, you can sell books.
Yeah.
So what exactly it'll be around, I don't know. Yeah.
Ek dink ons alreeds al ons boeke of die meeste trade boeke oor current affairs is eintlik val in by 'n utopiese ideaal by
positive slant, ja.
Kyk, ons Suid-Afrikaners, jy sal gedink dat ons sal nie geïnteresseerd wees in boeke oor misdaad eintlik nie, omdat ons so swaar dra aan misdaad en die effek daarvan, maar die teenoorgestelde is waar. Natuurlik in fiksie word die moordenaars gevang, want dit is iets wat ons graag wil sien. So dit is 'n utopiese ideaal wat daar verwesenlik word. Maar ek dink oor al die kwessies, as jy kyk na boektitels, jy weet, wat gaan gebeur na Zuma of so iets, jy weet, dit sal, is eintlik 'n strewe na Utopia, en ek dink ons boekbedryf voorsien reeds daan. So ek dink die Brexit ouens kan by ons kom leer, dalk.
Ja, ek dink ons is so, wel die aktuele politieke genre het die afgelope paar jaar ongelooflik kompeterend geraak, en daar word verskriklik baie daar uitgegee en het verkoop. So ek dink, en dit is, ek wil, ons eie is Trump en Zuma. So miskien is dit in elk geval, dat miskien sal daar kategorie in Amerika ook, ek sê, maar ek dink ook vooral dat in termen van feminisme, wat dit is so, soort van die eerste reaksie van mens, van vrouwen op Trump, is much a feministische reaksie. Maar ja, ons sal maar moet kyk. Ek dink Jamie het eintlik gesê wat ek ook dink, en dat het, ek dink die huis, dis miskien die hygge.
Ja,
met die warm drankies en die wolsokkies en die daai.
Miskien sien ons 'n oplewing in poesie
teenoor die anarchisme.
The thing is, if you look at the mega trends, so the colouring in books, the erotica, hygge maybe, it's all about the self. Right, it's about so the next trend, whatever it'll be, will be about, I think, the self. But what form it'll take, you know, I mean, I wish I knew, you know, and then I could, you know, buy my fourth.
So I think all in all, publishing is not for sissies. I think that's what we agree on.
Oh God, all sissies.
Bye, dankie almal. Dit was verskriklik lekker. Dankie Jeremy, Matt,
and thank you.
Dit was 'n heerlike gesprek.